This is Gray Man Media content.
I'm Austin.
I'm Eric.
And we are
the Baldcasters.
It's good to be back.
It really is.
It's nice to be able to sit down. My boy here again. Haven't seen you in about a week.
It has been a week.
Yeah, I know. We usually hang out so much.
I know.
Been so busy lately.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all because I've been getting ready to like move and stuff.
Yep.
So I've been at home and at work and then taking the boxes home and then it's a lot. I'm not going to lie.
Taking the boxes home was a lot?
Yeah, because I had to do it after I got off, and it was a shit ton of boxes, and I had to take my bike somewhere to hold it, so I brought it here, and, you know, it's a lot.
With all the boxes?
No, Adam had the boxes, and he was helping me out.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm excited.
So, another week, another episode.
Another division.
Today, talk about the Southwest. Basically, all the Texas teams.
And
friends.
Yes.
So, I guess we'll do the Texas teams last.
Yeah.
So let's start with Pelicans.
Pelicans? This is separate from the
Hornets, yeah. Yeah.
It's really hard looking around at all those players, but so far I'm in its relatively new part. So Chris Paul never played for the Charlotte Hornets. So we're just going to say that the New Orleans Hornets were the Pelicans.
Yeah, it works.
Cool. So I'm going to say it's between Chris Paul and what's his name? He played for the Pacers as well. Fucking. Had the goatee. David West.
David West. I got Boogie. I really like Boogie. And while he was at both his time there and at the Kings, he was like in his prime. And it was before he got hurt, which was like we were seeing like it looked like we were seeing the next dominant big.
Mm-hmm.
And like he had it for a few years, but like obviously injuries have kind of derailed like where his like ceiling was and all that kind of stuff. But when he was at the Pelicans, I was a really big fan of him and AD playing together.
It was beautiful.
It was fun basketball too. Just dominant bigs just playing against literally everyone else. They didn't have a very good team around him, but that
had it going.
Yep. What about the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies. It's between Jason Williams and Brad Miller, Big Country.
Those are good ones. I might be like prisoner of the moment on this, but I think I'm watching what's going to become my favorite Grizzly in Jaw. I'm a really big fan of Ja. I think he's a slightly better shooting Russell Westbrook, which is pretty dominant.
He's like a super skinny dude that can just dunk all over, while Westbrook's like the powerhouse version of him.
Yeah, and he can shoot threes.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Which is
at the same clip because he's shooting like last time I checked, he was shooting like 3 of 9 and like 2 of 7. Not to diss, I'm just saying he's.
Well, but last year he was shooting him a lot better than he is this year.
Yeah, he's had some injuries.
Yeah, so he'll get back to it, and I mean he has shown a capability of being able to shoot a lot of threes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how like Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon are kind of coming out with all this year, a lot of threes. Zach Gordon has been over the last couple of years, but Aaron Gordon a lot this year, just out of nowhere, one of the best 3-point shooters in the league for some reason.
One of the best defenders as well.
Yeah, and. Yeah, I think we've seen that with Ja, and I think that he's capable of shooting threes like that at a much higher rate than Westbrook is.
Interesting. Nets Nuggets finals is what I want. Anyways, continue.
Nets Nuggets? That'd be interesting. What about who you got for Houston?
H-Town! I really enjoyed the Phi Slamma Jamma players and Clyde Drexler and what's his name? Fucking Hakeem, but I really loved the Yao Ming era.
Yeah.
But then there's also Steve Franchise.
They've had a lot of really good talent go out of H-Town.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really good talent. I would probably go with Hakeem. Like, the only person able to win during the Jordan era. Like, actually win. Mm-hmm. And it was only because Jordan retired. And I don't want to say that Hakeem was just, like, whooping on Jordan or anything. But when Jordan retired, he was the one that kind of, like, slipped in and was like, yeah, I'm getting my rings while I have the opportunity. And being able to do that where no one else was, and like there were some really, really good players in the 90s that just weren't able to do that, obviously because of Jordan, and then, you know, when Jordan was retired, they still just weren't able to do it. But I think it speaks to Hakeem being able to be the best player on that really good team. I like that.
It's beautiful.
Next we got the Mavericks.
Mavericks?
I'm just going to put this out there. I'm going with Dirk. I love Dirk. Really big fan of Dirk.
I like Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Helped that team together to help them win. If he wasn't there, they weren't going to win that shit. Especially against that prototype small ball shit with LeBron, Bosh, and Wade.
Yeah. And, well, I really, really like Dirk. I do think that, like, his portion of, like, them winning has been, like, overblown a little bit. Because, like, Terry played really well. Obviously, Chandler played really well. Like, he had a really good team around him.
Cardinal played really well. Fucking J.J. Barea, hitting shots like he was a god.
Yeah, like, everyone, like, stepped up to the moment. And while Dirk was, like, the clear, like, nobody could guard Dirk, especially since, like, Dirk was, like, the one player that actually, like, pushed for, like, he was the prototype for big three-point shooters. And he could do it anywhere on the court. And nobody could guard him, especially, like, that year that they did win. He was just pulling up in, like, some, like, Kobe's face, fucking LeBron's face, every, like, some really good defenders, and just, like, boop.
It's because he's one of the most gifted, like, bigs ever. What's next on the menu? The Spurs.
Spurs?
I love them. I love them so much. There's so many good ones to pick from. But I'm going to go with my man, Obi-Wan Ginobili.
Ginobili? Okay. I'm gonna go with the other half to that equation, Timmy D. I don't know why Tim Duncan's not in the conversation for GOAT more than he is. I think we forget, like, just how much consistent excellence this man had, and he was the only motherfucker on the court brave enough to dress like a stepdad at the ball field every single night.
It was amazing. He's just so good, and he's like one of on the like. The five, the on the faces of, like, Mount Rushmore for me.
Yep.
Four faces, my bad.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously he was in a very, very good situation. And I don't think Popovich is as successful as he is without Tim Duncan.
Of course.
And, I mean, you can say that about... You can say that about Jackson. You can say that about... who's the guy down in Miami?
Riley.
Yeah, Pat Riley, who basically just pours his rings out on the table to convince people to come play for him. You say about all those guys that, like, they had dominant players come through. But, I mean, you really strike gold when you get one of the best players to ever do it.
Oh, yeah. They're very lucky.
So, continue. Who we got? Who do we have next week? We got a Pacific Division next week.
Ooh. Ocean.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that teams can overcome bad owners?
Well, that's a really hard to say, because like, what's a bad owner? Is it the one that's too involved? Is it the one that's not really involved? Is it the one that, like, like sets goals outside of winning, or is it like, you know what I mean? And so like if it's like a team built like, okay, we're going to go with like New Orleans. They're considered bad owners because AD was like, they don't really care about this team and blah, blah, blah. And he's like their cornerstone. And then they were more caring about the Saints, who, surprise, surprise, ain't winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. So they're like pouring all their stock into some other areas. And like the team's like having that over their head constantly. And they're like, damn, we don't really care here either. But like, fortunately, like, let's hope Zion turns out differently. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the team that's like OKC, and they didn't want to go into the luxury tax, and it was like, all right, you're going to have to trade one of them. We're going to sign Kendrick Perkins, who wasn't even like, sure, he was important to that 2008 finals run, but like he's not going to do you good over the next couple of years,
yeah,
like Harden's going to do because he's younger. And so like there's all these different things you got to look at, and it's just like all those teams haven't won one in that time.
And I would argue that owners, I would argue that like owners that are too involved do a lot more damage than owners that just aren't involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that leads to setting unrealistic expectations for a team that you're not allowing to grow organically. But going back to your comment about like them putting all the stock in the Saints. When they were doing that, it did look like the Saints were like going to win a few more Super Bowls before Breeze retired.
Breeze got kicked the fuck out of the NFL.
He didn't get kicked out. He had been talking about retiring for a few years, and he already had a Monday Night Football like contract signed.
I know. He was like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna go out win this last ring." No. Oh, okay. I'm just.
He really thought he was too, and I mean, then he got really disappointed. Because they just fell apart against the Vikings, of all people.
Wait, that's two for... Yeah, there's the Vikings episode. That one was funny as shit. And then there's the fucking Rams, where they just got beat up and nobody said anything.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady, like, literally, like, kicked dirt onto a sandwich. Into his potato salad.
What?
Kick dirt into his potato salad, bro.
What are you talking about?
Like the episode of SpongeBob where he like lands in it and then it's like his feet are all in it and they're like, it took us 3 days to make that. Yeah.
3 days!
Why? Are they poor or something?
I never thought that one. In your opinion, which is worse? The not involved at all or too involved? Like trying to be a GM while you're just the owner? It's not just the owner, but like not letting your GM do their job.
Not letting your GM do their job is probably the worst part. It's probably the worst part of being like what a player should like deal with, because then they're like, then it shows that they're being dicks or they don't care. Either way, you're showing that you don't care about the players.
I think there's a parallel between the NBA and the NFL in this regard, because you see teams. Like the Rams, like San Francisco, Tampa, who just kind of let their GMs do their job, and they're doing really well. Tampa obviously just won the Super Bowl. San Francisco has been to a Super Bowl in the last couple of years. Rams have been to a Super Bowl, and they just upgraded a quarterback, so they're in that circle. Then you see teams like Dallas, who Jerry Jones is just like, no, I run this team. And they have not been very successful over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an interesting parallel, because I think that I definitely think that, like, and I don't want to minimalize like AD thinking that owners should be more involved, because like to an extent, yes, they should, but also you have to let people, like, you have hired these people to do jobs that, like, you should not be doing. Because you just don't. You don't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You good, Doug?
Yeah. As you guys can probably tell. Yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
Great. You're my favorite person, Eric. I think we've talked about sports enough today.
Yeah.
We're we got some time. Switch over. When, in your mind, when's a good time, or like, when is the right time to kill off an important character?
So you know how in stories where they're like, how in Rogue One they had to explain how everybody's supposed to be dead?
Yeah.
And how, like, it says in the canon, like, you know, these people made it, and then, like, at the very end of the movie, they kill them all and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's, like, if you know they're going to die, then it has to be exactly as it said in that context. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and how they have, like, previous stories and, like, yeah, this character's dead, and they're talking about a flashback. They can't just have him. Wait, he actually survived, because that's an overdone trope. You can just, like, go back in time or, like, clone him or something, which would have been better into just saying leave it ambiguous.
Yeah.
I think the perfect time to kill a character is when it's, like, how like, it's... You just can't, like, throw too many red flags or whatever. It has to be like, yeah, this character, if you're going to bring him back, cool. Like, explain it later. Don't be like, yeah, it's ambiguous. You have to say, they're dead. They're dead for sure.
Yep.
And it can't be, like, left murky, because that gets kind of choppy.
I see what you're saying. I like how they did Rogue One, with the whole, like, they're testing the Death Star and they're just firing it on the planet to kill everyone. And I think it adds another layer to the beginning of New Hope, where, like, yeah, they mentioned that, like, a lot of people died to get this information, but, like, we don't understand the context of, like, the sacrifice that this, like, entire fleet basically made. And, like, hundreds, like, probably tens of thousands of people just, like, sacrificed themselves to get the Death Star plans, so that the rebellion could have it. And so I really enjoyed how they did that, and it didn't interfere with, it didn't, like, retcon anything. It didn't, you know, change anything like that. But then you also have examples where they kill off, like, one character. One that kind of comes to mind is Jason Todd Robin, in Death in the Family, where Joker just beats the shit out of this kid.
Was like, yeah, I used to steal pies, now I'm gonna steal your life.
He just bonks this guy in the head. And then, like, but that also goes back to, like, what you were talking about. Like, if you're gonna kill them, just kill them. If you're gonna bring them back later, explain it then. Don't leave it ambiguous. Because, like, you actually see, like, Batman, like, holds up Jason Todd's body at the end of the comic. It's so, like, he's very clearly dead. Or else Batman is just terrible at, like, finding a pulse.
Is he alive? Feeling his hand and shit.
He's just on the fingers.
Yeah.
He's like, is he alive? Shit.
They're cold. He's dead.
So, typically bringing back characters, if it's not fully explained, it typically happens just in some sort of retcon.
Yeah.
There have been some bad ones. What was your worst, like, in your opinion, what's the worst retcon?
When Marvel was getting, when they killed off Wolverine, he was dead for, like, 4 fucking years, and they were like, yeah, he was never there in the first place. he was actually cracked open from that place with the Power Stone. And so they just, like, that type of shit, which is kind of weak. I mean, I get you're going to reboot soon, but you don't need to, like, do it like that. Just say the universe blew up and then, like, started over again. And that's how you, like, because you did it before. You know what I mean? And then, like, when Superman came back, because he was actually in a Kryptonian regeneration chamber for God knows how long, and then comes out in all black with a beard.
Was that New 52?
No, that was Death of Superman.
I think my least favorite retcon is every single Superman story that changes powers. Which is literally every single Superman power. They just vary his powers.
I thought we were talking about retcon of dead, like people dying.
No, just retcons in general.
Mm. Let's see. Having fucking the Green Lantern's like actual lantern. Fucking from Justice Society, Alan Scott.
Mm-hmm.
How it was not like, it's not actually magic. It's actually something was like Volthoom or something. It's like a furnace. It was really cool. And by cool, I mean dislike.
So what are some of your favorites?
Adding new lanterns.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's awesome.
I think my favorite happened recently. And it's in Star Wars, there was, when Disney took over, all that kind of stuff. After Rebels, there's a moment in Rebels where Rex talks about he fought with Ahsoka all the way up to the Siege of Mandalore. But before that, we had all thought that she had left the Jedi Order in season 5 of Rebels, which was before the Siege of Mandalore. Mm-hmm. So they had to come back and explain why Ahsoka was at the Siege of Mandalore. And in the Ahsoka novel, it's she's going there to basically to hunt down Maul, which very similar to how they did the season 7 of Clone Wars, where she goes there to find Maul, to kill Maul, so that Mandalore can, like, re-govern its people. And it basically changes the entire fight between her and Maul. I think it's a lot better. The one in the novel was pretty cheap, and it was just like, she literally just bested Maul, but that really doesn't make any sense, because she had just gone, like, a whole 2 years without, like, even messing with her, like, she wasn't using her force, she wasn't, like, training, all that kind of stuff. And Maul had been training the entire time, so it really didn't make any sense. And in Clone Wars, they make it, it's a lot more like, Maul is beating her for most of the encounter, and then his own arrogance is just what kills him. Well, is what makes him lose the fight in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, he's just up in the rafters, and he's like, he, like, cuts the pole, and, like, he could have just killed her right there. And he goes, join me or die. And then she's like, and, like, jumps up and knocks him down. And then, like, she had lost both of her lightsabers. Usually in Star Wars, that means you're fucking dead. If you don't have a fucking lightsaber and you're facing someone with the Force, you're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
You're just gonna get bonk on the fucking chest, and you're dead. Fucking dead. But he goes, last chance. Join me, or you're gonna fucking die. And she's like, okay. Kicks him off, and then just, like, holds him there with the Force. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty Maul way to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just, like, literally getting beaten by a child.
What do you mean I'm arrested? Fuck!
He was terrified, too. He wanted to die. He was screaming at her, just drop him.
Please.
just let me die!
You're all going to die! You're all going to burn!
It was, highly recommend season 7 if you haven't watched it. I guess we just kind of spoiled some of it.
Oh, clone of fucking Maul coming back is also technically a retcon, because he wasn't even mentioned for most of the shit.
They had Legends comics of Maul. It wasn't how he returned in Clone Wars, but there was basis for him coming back and having a series for him. And George Lucas kind of leaves it open anyway, because you can see as he falls down in the pit in episode 1, he still, like, has his Sith eyes, and he's, like, very vehemently looking at Obi-Wan as he's, like, falling down the chasm.
Mm-hmm.
There was a report that George Lucas had always intended for him to come back. I don't believe that too much. I think he was just trying to leave it open I don't think he was actually going to bring back Maul in any like specific context, but that's what led to there being, there was comics and stories written about Maul coming back before. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Star Wars Legends is kind of wild.
Yeah, it's almost as wild as 40K lore. It's fucking nuts.
40K lore is too intense, and I am not getting into that with you right now.
Blood for the Blood God. Skulls for the Skull Throne. Milk for the Cornflakes.
Well, this is a gun. Holds board.
Oh my god. Daka, 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 daka. There's so much going into that. It would take, like, a whole, like, there's a whole series about it. It's called Adeptus Ridiculus, and it's really good. They're really good at explaining, and they're basically in a bridge version, and they go, like, episode by episode, talking about each facet. It's amazing.
So, in comics, sometimes they turn villains into heroes. They have what is called a redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
It is so cleverly patented. What is your favorite redemption arc in comics or any other kind of medium?
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man's a good one.
Vegeta.
You want to go into the Plastic Man one?
Plastic Man? Oh, shit. He was like a... Yeah, he was a villain for a long time. And then Marvel was like... I mean, no. DC was like, Elongated Man's not as cool. People love Plastic Man. So they were like, all right. Let's make him a good guy. And so they did.
I like Red Hood. I'm a big fan of Zuko's from Avatar: The Last Airbender, because he just kind of wakes up one day and is like, "I want to work with the Avatar." And then like, it's different because like with most redemption arcs, you see them come to the good side over the course of the like redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
With Zuko, he came to the good side, but then he had to have his redemption arc. Because everyone was like, no. We just watched this man for the last two books hunt down these children for years. And then they were like, okay.
Sure, bud.
Fine. We'll make the other characters like him. And that's what happened.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he went on field trips with everyone, except for Toph. And, yeah, he won them all over. And then he became Aang's best friend.
It was great.
Yeah. What a way to... How the fuck do you go from that?
I don't know.
Imagine if I hunted you for 3 years. And we're just like, let's play a game. You're going to run. I'm going to get a gun. And then for 3 years, I'm just going to try to capture you to bring back honor to my family. And then one day, I was just like, you know what? Never mind, dog. Let's go kill my dad.
Oh, fuck yeah!
That's crazy. Man. So, Eric.
Yes.
What's been going on in the life of Eric? What do you got for us today?
Nothing. Honest to God. I've been chilling. I'm moving out, like I said earlier. That's what I'm looking forward to. I bought my first mini. It's a nice...
For Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes.
Nice.
I'm excited about it. It's coming to here. It's coming here. And it'll be around and it'll be really fucking awesome. I'm excited. So I've said it so many times, but I really am.
I'm excited for you. Excited for you. We're,
I'm going to buy $95 dice to go with it.
You're a monster. I have so many sets of dice.
Not even... I misspoken. I'm going to buy a singular dice.
Singular set of $95. No, I know.
Yeah.
If all of my dice were worth $95, it'd be ridiculous.
Disgusting. But it's only for this podcast. That's the only time I'll use them.
So, Dogecoin is almost to 7 cents at the recording of this video. Hit 6 cents.
It was at 7 this morning.
Was it 7 this morning?
Yeah.
Damn. This shit's crazy. I'm going to get wealthy on the back of Dogecoin.
I know. I got like 250 some dollars.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, it's almost up to 8 cents now.
What?
To 7.85 cents.
Oh, my God. We're rising, bro.
If this gets to $10,
I'm going to die.
We're just going to build a studio. So, if you're listening to this, I'm not a financial advisor. However,
buy Dogecoin.
I like the Bitcoin. Sorry, I like the crypto. Buy Dogecoin.
Buy Dogecoin.
Buy Dogecoin.
Buy Dogecoin.
We're trying to pump this thing up to $100.
Oh my God.
Eric, I'd have so much. I'd have $1 million.
If this shit gets to $100, I'll fucking die.
I mean, minus my 15% for capital gains tax. However, I'll have like $850,000. You know what I could do with $850,000?
A lot.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Mark it down. Dogecoin goes up to $100. We'll buy that studio that we saw.
Yeah, dog.
Down in
Frankfurt.
Out in J-Town.
Is that Frankfurt?
At Frankfurt Avenue?
It was around Frankfurt, yes.
Yeah, it was down by the water company.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll buy that.
Oh my God.
And then we'll just do Gray Man out of there.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I'll just get it for Gray Man Media.
That's a long drive too. I'm hyped. I'm down.
Yeah, let's do it. $100, guys. We're marking it here. On Baldcasters, if it hits $100, we're buying the studio.
We're buying the studio. Confirmed. Yep.
And then I will also buy my Jeep.
Because
I'll have enough money left over.
I'll buy an El Camino just for shiggles.
You gotta get your license, dog.
I know.
If you're listening to this, go bully Eric on Twitter to get his license.
That'll be a lot of followers that respond. That'll be funny as shit.
What's your Twitter handle? Is it Lysnake?
No, God, that's just my email, bro.
Your AOL.
My AOL.
Yeah. Also, bully Eric for still having an AOL.
Fight me, bro. Come at me, bro.
Did you say come at me?
Yeah, dog.
What is this, 2014?
It's Everyday Eric.
Everyday Eric?
Yeah, under the handle of I am so fucking good.
It's at I am so fucking good?
At IMASOFAKINGGOOD.
We'll put that in the description. So, it's been a while. What do you, you still with Everyday People?
Yeah, yeah. We're waiting a little bit to put out episodes.
What episode are you on?
We did a couple. I can't spoil it. I'll have to come out and watch it. But it comes out the 21st.
Comes out the 21st? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Guys, go follow Everyday People on Spotify and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Would have dropped April 21st. There we go. Much better than to say 21st, because we don't know when this will come out.
That's fair. April 21st. That's definitely going to drop before this episode drops.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
So, we're working on this whole D&D thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've been working on, we're in the process, putting our studio together.
Mm-hmm.
Getting all the process together. What has that been looking like, Eric? What all we got going on with this?
Step one, clear the living room. Step two, step three, profit.
You skip step two.
Yeah, that's how it's going. So because right now we're kind of in a limbo. Because we're like, yeah, we did the easiest part, but we need to save money to buy stuff.
Yeah, we you know, we're about to get our Patreon up.
Mm-hmm.
About to do all that. So, be listening for updates on that, guys.
It'll work eventually.
Oh yeah. We'll make it work. It's gonna work.
It's gonna happen.
So I was playing D&D a couple weeks ago, and we play Star Wars D&D, and I play a sentient droid, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty whack, you know. And so we were out here going and hunting these rack ghouls, which are basically these little monster thingies, right? And we're out here. I'm just like sniping these fuckers, and I pull out my toolies, my two pistols, and go just start doming these rack ghouls. And then we get to their cave, right? And I walk in. You know, I made myself invisible, and I walked in. And I was like, okay. There's a fuck ton of them. And then I notice there's a Jedi across the cave. And I'm like, what? What is going on? Come to find out, Jedi's just sitting there controlling all of them. And I'm like, whoa. This is fuck crazy. So my compatriot that was with me was like, well, what are you going to do? You can't kill a Jedi. And I go, whoa, no, you can't kill a Jedi. Me, I have a pretty rich reputation of killing Jedi and Sith, any kind of Force user that rolls up on me. So I was pretty cocky. And I took out my toolie. I didn't have my sniper rifle. If I had my sniper rifle, I could have domed this guy. But I just had my pistols. So I just, like, took a couple shots at him. And I only hit one of them, and I missed the other one, which is crazy, because I have, like, a +8 to hit. And I only hit one of them. So, one of them, like, hits in his shoulder, and then he just, like, all of his fucking rat ghouls are, like, probably, like, 80 in this cave. Just all start running at us. And I'm like, what?! And then I'll come up and surround us. And then this, like, mama rat ghoul, it's, like, twice the size of me, just, like, picks me up. And I'm like, well, time to re-roll a new character. I'm about to fucking die. And this Jedi gets fucking cocky because this Jedi has fallen to the dark side. So he gets cocky and he's like, you know what? I see you have a lightsaber there, droid. Let's see how you can use it. I challenge you to lightsaber combat. And I was like, okay. So I was like, all right, well, you guys have beat me up pretty good. Let me go back to our manor, repair a little bit, you know, get myself fixed up. You can just meet me over there, and, you know, we'll get our shit straightened out. And he's like, yeah, that seems fair. Okay, so let me go. And I went all the way back to the manor. I hopped in my starship. I radioed the other starship that I had in orbit and told them to orbitally bombard the mountain that this man was in.
Straight up and, Vietnam.
Literally, yeah. I was just dropping white phosphorus on this man. And I basically had, you know, in Halo, how they have like mat cannons.
Mm-hmm.
My freighter that I had in orbit has two of those on it.
Good lord!
And it just like fired both of them, and then fired all the heavy laser cannons that's on it at the one mountain, and destroys the mountain that he was in. And I get I have like an ARC 170. It's like the clone commando fighters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have one of those.
Wow.
Which has heavy, and I have upgraded weaponry on it. We've been playing this for a little while. I've been amassing more and more wealth. So I just spend it on ships. And I got in that. And then he like crawls out of this mountain, right? This Jedi does. Gets up with his lightsaber and starts waving at me. He's like, you can't kill me. And so I did a strafing run on him, naturally. And I rolled over there. And there was not much left of him. There were pieces scattered around in a lot of different spaces. And so, yeah. All I'm saying is, my droid does not play games. He just gets results. I'm paid. I am paid to kill a Jedi, and I'm going to kill the Jedi.
Did Ryan just die?
I think Ryan just fell on the stairs. I was just going to keep going.
Is he good?
I don't know. Well, this has been an episode of Vlogcasters, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, CEO. Oh, God.
Alright.
That was an unfortunate accident. Let's see. Yeah.
Now we gotta do a sound check.
Sounds good on my part.